Now, Home on Long Island with your host, Sal Farrow, President and CEO of Allure Home Improvements, right here on 1100 WHLI.
Welcome to Home on Long Island. I'm your host, Sal Farrow, President and CEO of Allure Home Improvements. And with me today is my friendly co-host, Seth Selesno. Good morning, Seth.
Good morning, Sal. Good morning, Long Island.
Good to have you here again. We had a great week this week. After the terrific monsoons, near hurricane winds, damages all over Long Island, we actually had some beautiful weather. I mean, some real good weather. I actually snuck out and played a little golf on Thursday.
Good for you.
And I didn't want you to know because I didn't invite you, Seth. And you've been hitting the ball much too far. Okay, I can't play against you anymore.
All right, sorry to hear that.
But the weather was great all week, and you know, last week we talked about opening up your swimming pool and the great weather we were starting to get, and you know, this time of year we all get excited about the spring coming and summer coming. So following up last week's show where we had Kyle Chaikin from Chaikin Pools, today we have another good friend of mine, Frank Palmieri from Surf and Turf Landscaping. Surf and Turf is from St. James, and we're going to talk today about, you know, what we need to do to get our yards ready. What's happening? I mean, this is like another one of those shows I'm excited to do, Seth, because it just tells me the best part of the year is coming. And, you know, I'm excited to have Frank. I've known Frank a very long time. He knows his business. And Surf and Turf has an excellent reputation of, you know, serving this Long Island region for quite a long time. And we'll let Frank tell us a little bit more about the company and, most importantly, what Long Islanders can do going forward from this point forward to get their yards ready.
Well, I could certainly use the help with some of the brown patches on my lawn.
I've seen your lawn. I've seen your lawn, the one that you had a job sign on forever and your neighbor got upset.
Yeah, I don't think we want to get into that right now.
No, I don't. I guess not. But if you'd like to join us in the show today with a call-in question, call us at 631-292-9108. You can always go to WHLI.com, especially if you're listening online, because if you go to WHLI.com, you can listen live on the computer, and you can click on Home on Long Island on the bottom. And you can send us an email. We can get it right here while we're on the show and answer any of your questions or comments you may have. And as always, if you want to learn more about what we're talking about, Allure.com is a great spot to go. Our website is filled with great stuff on living on Long Island and how to take care of your home and siding, windows, roofing. Great stuff to help you as you plan for the next season ahead. So, Seth, how was your week this week? Did you get to play golf?
I did not get to play golf. I've been working and you know, reading a lot of stories about people trying to put their homes and cars back together after that crazy storm. You know, you mentioned pool openings before. One of my neighbors had their pool unexpectedly opened by a tree that decided to fall down and knock the cover right off the pool.
I actually saw the photograph of that. Oh, no, actually, I saw the photograph of one
you
of
them. You saw the car.
I saw the car, okay.
Well, there were quite a few of those.
Yeah, it was crushed. It was completely crushed. There was a lot of that on Long Island. I was reading that there were 250 trees down in town in Hempstead alone.
Yeah, that was just in Hempstead.
Yeah, and then I also read something about a Brookhaven and at the airport out there.
Well, there was a plane that flipped over in Brookhaven. As of Wednesday, there was still like 30,000 people without power. And some guy in Belmore got so frustrated, he went to the LIPA office and threw a brick through the window. That should expedite his service getting turned back on.
Yeah, I can appreciate the anger, but I don't know if I can appreciate the action.
Yeah, I don't know how that's going to help.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to help much.
Hey, if I worked in that office, you know, as soon as the power's back on, I might accidentally unplug his, you know, I'd be a little careful if I were him.
Yeah, I don't know if the action definitely fit the issue. I think LIPA had their hands full. I think, you know, this is one of those things where this storm came fast, furious, but it stayed. It didn't just come in and shoot back out. It stayed for a while and hovered over us. And, you know, I know it's easy to complain about LIPA. It's great, easy to complain about the government. But there's only so much LIPA can do when trees are falling down all over the place. I came home the other night, and my front, as I drove down my block, it was about two houses down. One of the drains where the water was flowing, we had neighbors pumping water out all over the place, and I was very fortunate. I had no water infiltration whatsoever. But one of my neighbors pumping water, the drain caved in.
Hmm.
So the sewer outside, you saw the street, the asphalt cave in. And I went up to the end, and I looked at it, and it was amazing because we were looking down 12 feet of just the concrete broke, and it was just all collapsed. And fortunately, the town of Huntington, I live in Huntington, the town of Huntington was out very quickly, filled that up to make it safe because it was very dangerous. So think about that kind of damage all over Long Island in different places, and it's very hard to get upset with the towns and get upset with a utility like LIPA.
Yeah, I mean, Nassau 911, I think, got over 10,000 calls last Saturday. They average about 2,000 a day.
Yeah, so that's five times what they normally get. I also read that as of Wednesday, 30,000 people still didn't have power. And I know on Wednesday I had gotten an email from a friend of mine in Rockville Center. He still didn't have power. He had to skip a concert he was going to go to that night.
Wow. He couldn't do his hair for the show? I know that would stop you from going, but not the average person.
Thanks. I don't think he has much hair. Okay, well, you know, always the hair jokes, huh? You know, at least I have a full head of hair. And I had to use.
Why are you looking at me when you say that?
No, you're pretty good with your hair.
I'm pretty close.
Seth did shave his mustache, everybody, so you may not recognize him. Now that he's a co-host on a popular radio show, he had to shave his mustache so people didn't recognize him.
Had to change the look.
Now, with this good weather, another benefit, besides getting ready to open the pools and do the landscaping, is baseball. I'm watching.
How's Dominic's baseball team? Are you coaching his team?
Yeah, I'm coaching his team. We're excited because, number one, spring training is here, and every team you're excited about, even the New York Mets, and I'm not going to give you a chance to complain about my New York Mets. Even there's excitement there.
They take care of that by themselves, no problem.
Yeah, I know. The New York Mets are very exciting. There's some young players, and there's excitement there. But this year, you know, I've mentioned it on previous shows. I put together a travel team with a couple of buddies of mine, and myself, Steve, and Tom, we put this travel team together of 14-year-olds, and we're finally getting outside to practice.
Oh, it's beautiful.
And later on today is our first outside practice since the fall, since I think in October. We've been practicing indoor. We've been having indoor clinics all through the winter, getting these kids ready. And it's exciting because these kids are also trying out for the school teams. Hmm. And all the kids on my team so far have all made their school teams.
Pretty cool.
So, you know, it's exciting because we kind of kept them in shape all winter, worked on their hitting, worked on their fundamentals. And when you live up here in New York, the disadvantage we have to kids down in Florida, Arizona, California, we can't play baseball 12 months a year like they can. So you've got to find a way to give these kids an opportunity to play baseball, play their favorite sport. And the only way to do it is these places like, CGI, West, Play Like a Pro, all these indoor facilities. And if you can keep these kids, you know, working on fundamentals, swinging a bat, throwing a baseball throughout the winter, come time for the season, they're going to be that much better. And it was proof. Every one of the kids made their school teams.
I would imagine that's a pretty big deal. I know when I lived out in California, people were playing, you know, baseball 12 months out of the year.
That's the difference. I have friends of mine who have kids who are very talented baseball players, and they wanted to move down south because the climate up here on Long Island, I mean, we love the change of seasons. We love the fall, the leaves, everything else. That doesn't bode well for baseball. And these guys were going down south, and what you're finding is more and more facilities are popping up that are for indoor soccer, indoor baseball, indoor football, things that these kids can play year-round. And I think that's great for Long Island because we want to keep our kids here.
Well, especially now that they're looking to close all those parks, they still need some things to do.
I know. Well, I know how you feel about that, and I do have faith that we're going to find a way to keep them open because we don't want to lose what we're great about Long Island with these parks. And I know you're going to go right into the whole story about Crystal, so I might as well let you talk about the Crystal that Hillary Clinton spent money on.
Well, I know talking about parks, you know, obviously there's a big concern they're going to close these parks. Kids are already faced with enough gangs out here in Long Island, and we find out, you know, earlier this week that Hillary Clinton and the State Department are about to spend $5.4 million, yes, that's $5.4 million of our tax dollars to buy, get this, fine crystal stemware for American embassies to outfit those embassies and ambassadors' residences for ritzy functions. Taxpayers, how do you like your tax money funding that when people are starving, facing foreclosures, trying to put food on their table, put their kids through school, can't afford taxes, and Hillary's buying crystal for embassies. How do you explain that?
Okay,
this is theft.
I know your biggest concern, and I understand that we're spending quite a bit of money, and I'm not going to defend it whatsoever. I think that we've got to really, really take into consideration we've got people starving on one end, people homeless and without jobs and foreclosing on their homes, and other end, we're buying high-end crystal. I think the biggest part is where they got the crystal from.
Well, that's just as bad. Well, they did actually order the crystal through a company supposedly in the U.S. who then subcontracted it, which should not have been allowed. So now that $5.4 million is going to go stimulate the economy in, Switzerland?
Switzerland.
Awesome.
Switzerland.
That's just awesome because, you know, we don't need that here or anything.
Well, it's a type of thing, Seth, and I've said it a number of times. If you have an issue with something, vote.
Talk to me. How do you revolt? A vote's not going to change that. How do you get every New York taxpayer to refuse to pay taxes until we see that purchase eliminated?
You can't.
You're stealing our money and buying crystal with it.
Oh, you're passionate. You can't. What you got to do is you got to write a letter. You write a letter to your senator. You write a letter to your congressman. Write a letter expressing how you feel. That's all you can do. Write a letter.
Why can't I withhold my tax money and just say I'm not paying for your crystal?
All righty. So we've got ourselves a revolt here, Boston Tea Party. Okay, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to write a letter saying I really think it's not great use of our taxpayers' money and that we really have to reconsider those kind of expenditures. That's what I'm going to do. You not pay your taxes, and then I'll come visit you in jail. All righty?
Okay. And bring the reply that you get to that letter with when you come visit me.
Yeah, well,
I might be waiting a long time to see it.
I have faith in our Republican and what we can do. I just think that you're not going to agree with everything, and if enough people stand up like you and like myself and write letters and voice our displeasure, we will get change. And it's the only way you can do it. And the best way to get change is at the ballot box. Go out there and vote. Period.
Do you really want to encourage me to start writing letters?
No. But going back to baseball, so this whole thing with me getting my son with the Huntington Titans, starting this team, it's been exciting. It got me so juiced up and excited that I've started to play baseball myself again.
Really?
Yeah, so I'm playing on a Sunday morning team, the Huntington Angels, and it's a 30 and over.
All right.
So you know I'm over 30, everybody.
Yeah.
It's a 30 and over league, and it's exciting. Been hitting, playing every Sunday morning, practicing. And it just feels great to get back in the groove, and you feel so young playing baseball again.
Have you been stretching?
Been stretching, been running, and most importantly, been hitting. It's very different playing baseball over softball. You know, softball, it's slow-paced and four outfielders. Now it's hardball, stealing, playing three outfielders.
You actually have to pay attention.
Yeah, it's very exciting, and I hope I do well. And if I get hurt, I could still do the radio show.
There you go.
So now, just tell me one thing. Do you drink a lot of soda?
I do not drink a lot of soda. Okay. I used to.
So do you have a problem with the soda tax? We're staying on things that affect Long Island, affect people. You have an issue with the soda tax?
Well, I do have an issue with the soda tax.
Why?
Well, there was actually a good article in Daily News recently. Now, the reality is the federal government has spent billions of dollars to subsidize the growing of sugar beets, sugar cane, and corn that becomes high fructose corn syrup. Americans who aren't farmers already are taxed once to support these programs, and now New York wants to tax us a second time to prevent us from eating the same sweeteners that our taxpayers are paying farmers to produce. So wouldn't it just be simpler to get rid of the farm subsidies to begin with? I mean, this is kind of a joke. So what's the alternative? Drink diet soda and
all right. Well, I'm going to tell you
drink
what
all
I
these
would,
chemicals?
I would just write a letter to my representative. Moving on. Because I'm never going to win these arguments with you. You're just
I'm not arguing with you, though. You disagree?
Pay the tax and the soda. Well, listen, we have our email question of the week, and it came from Elise from Smithtown. Thanks for sending the email question, Elise. The question was, I heard about this program called Cash for Caucus. What is it, and is it real? Elise, it is a program. It's not real yet, okay? Cash for Caucus is a nickname for a program called the Home Star Program. Home Star Program is a similar program to Cash for Clunkers, where you traded in a vehicle and you were able to get a new vehicle and get a tax break and certain financial advantages in doing that. They were trying to get these vehicles off the road that were, high gas, high energy users. It was a good program for the car dealers and did definitely do some stimulating of the economy. This program the goal is to provide funding to homeowners to make homes more energy efficient. Insulation, air sealing, windows, doors, new oil heating equipment, HVAC equipment, those type of improvements to improve your home. The program is great because of two purposes. One, it increases energy efficiency, thereby lowering our energy demands, thereby lowering the emissions, thereby lowering our need for foreign oil, and just great things. The more we can be more energy efficient, lower energy costs, the better things could be. The second thing is it can act as a good economic stimulus, putting people in manufacturing back to work. People make windows, make doors, make the oil burners, that kind of stuff, and the people who install it, this can be a phenomenal stimulus to help throughout the country. I would recommend everybody call the representatives to indicate their support of this bill. Right now, it's still in the House and still in the Senate, and we'll see what happens. So hopefully that was a good answer for you, Elise, and you can look up more of that on our website, allure.com. All right, we're going to take a commercial break. We'll be right back here on WHLLE. 1100.
Home on Long Island. We now return to Home on Long Island with your host, Sal Farrow, on 1100 WHLI.
Okay, welcome back, Long Island, to Home on Long Island. I'm Sal Farrow, your host, president and CEO of Allure Home Improvements. And with me today is Seth Selesno, our co-host. And our guest today is Frank Palmieri. Frank Palmieri is the president of Surf and Turf Landscaping out of St. James. And Frank, we're happy to have you on the show today. Welcome to our show.
Thank you, Sal. Thank you, Seth. Great to be here. Hey, I just want to say we spent the entire week after the storm picking up trees all over the island. It really is something about the way those trees just fell down. But, you know, it's been good for me. So yeah. I'm okay with it.
As a landscaper, I'm sure. It's funny. I saw you chomping at the bit as we're talking about the fallen trees and the condition of Long Island, and you're just chomping at the bit. I'm sure for most landscapers, this is good. And, you know, being in our business, we know tough winters are good for us, too, on the houses.
That is true. That is true.
So, Frank, before we go into, you know, how to get these houses ready, why don't you tell us a little bit about Surf and Turf? You know, what do you guys do? What do you specialize in? That kind of stuff.
Sure. Thank you. Surf and Turf is a landscaping and masonry company, our full-line landscape company. We've been in business for more than 20 years. Like you said before, we're located out of St. James. And we service the entire Long Island region. We go as far as Maspeth all the way out to Riverhead and Shirley. I would say that our business is structured around lawn care, maintenance, weekly cuts, starting off with cleanups and weekly cuts. We have a fertilization program, but we're also expert masons and cement workers.
Oh, okay, good. So you do the full landscape and hardscape.
That's exactly right. You know, basically, we do everything from planting it, from designing it to planting it, to maintaining it, you know, with fertilization and weekly cuts, coming back, trimming trees and bushes, and we can also develop and install the landscapes around it, patios, driveways, walkways.
Okay. I'm sure everybody's going to have the same question, and I might as well get it out. Where did Surf and Turf come from?
Surf and Turf.
I'm thinking of a piece of steak and a lobster tail. I'm sorry.
Well, that's people exactly call you looking for dinner reservations?
Often. People always say, Surf and Turf, that makes me hungry. But when people think of Surf and Turf, they do think of the best food. So that's one of the reasons. We've actually did a play on words with the word surf was from the medieval times where the serfs were the ones who actually worked for the landowners. So that's who we are. We're the serfs. And the turf is, well, that's
what you do, what you maintain.
That's right.
I think it's pretty cool.
Thank you.
I like it.
It's catchy, right?
I'm still hungry. So, all right, so the spring is here. We're both, looking out our front windows saying, oh, what's the next step? Where do we get started as homeowners on our properties? We want them to look pristine and awesome for the summer. Where do I start?
Well, we're getting a lot of that right now. You know, like you said, spring has sprung, and it's here, you know, right after the monsoon. So the phones have lit up like a Christmas tree. The first thing that we do and we recommend is let's prepare the property for the year. So, you know, through the course of that winter, a lot of, you know, debris falls from the trees and the leaves blow around. And, you know, we had all that snow laying on our grass and compacting it. So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to do property cleanup. So we're going to prepare the grass for the rest of the year.
Okay. What is property, what does it happen? You just blow out the bushes, you clean out the leaves that are stuck behind everything? Because I look at my property, it's pretty clean. Mostly everything is behind the bushes and stuff.
Yeah, aesthetically, that's what we do. We want to, do an entire sweep of the property, get rid of all that fallen debris. But the most important thing is we want to prepare that turf for a long, healthy season. So throughout the course of the year, from last winter, the grass still grew up to a certain point. And then it starts to die or starts to lose its color, and that becomes thatch. So that thatch stays there, and it gets thicker, and as we had a wet winter with all that snow, it gets compact. So the first thing we want to do is remove and thin out that thatch because it's not doing any good, and this will allow the grass to breathe. And, when there's breath, if the grass is a living thing, it will grow.
Okay, so you thatch, that's what it's called, thatching.
Thatch, exactly right.
And what is it, like a hard rake where you pull out all the crab and...
The actual, I don't want to get technical with you, Sal, but it is called power raking.
Okay. Yeah, that's not too technical. We can understand power and raking are two words.
Well, you know, it's a pretty simple industry.
Seth understands that. Okay, so you power rake the grass, thereby allowing it to breathe, thinning it out, getting rid of all the old, dead crabgrass, whatever is in there.
Yeah, not the crabgrass. The crabgrass hasn't come yet. That's another story.
Okay.
But get rid of all that dead grass and gives the grass, it gives it an opportunity to regrow and for the ground to breathe.
Okay. So now that you've done that, it's breathing, it's open, it's fresh. What's the next step?
All right, the next step is then to treat it. You know, now that we've cleaned it, so to speak, what I like to do with my customers is take a soil sample of the test of the grass and develop and decide what it needs to do. As for treating the lawn, we want to do two things. One, we want to prevent weeds from coming, and two, we want to supply the turf with the nutrients that it needs to grow. So right after I clean it, then I treat it.
So it sounds to me like it's preventive, like a preventive type application in addition to, giving it something to. It's like vitamins.
Absolutely. Absolutely. A balance of very – I'm like a doctor.
I was actually working to set up that analogy, and I was trying to put it the right way. So you're giving the grass vitamins. Prevent weeds from coming and allow it to have a healthy growth.
Absolutely.
Okay. And that's done early in the season?
Yeah.
Right after the thatching? How long do you wait after the thatching?
Really, some of our cleanups are starting this – depending on the weather, we're able to get out there now. We are DEC compliant. Department of Environmental Conservation says that I cannot apply any type of pesticide, herbicide, or fertilizer before April 1st.
April 1st, okay. So April Fool's Day.
April Fool's Day, yeah. There's probably no pun intended there, right?
Okay. And I did read that because I've gotten a letter, and I've seen from the letter I've gotten from you stating that there'll be no fertilizing before that time period.
That is correct.
Why did they do that?
I asked the DEC that same question the other day when I was taking my recertification courses, and they just looked at me and shrugged. I think it's really their way of just controlling the industry. Pesticide and herbicide and fungicide or anything with a side is a chemical, and it's very, very dangerous. Now, you as a homeowner can apply it any time you want. There is no regulation. But myself as a commercial applicator, they want to regulate us a little bit, so they cut down the area. And, the truth of the matter is we're putting poison into the ground. And I guess to prevent any kind of runoff or contamination of underground water, they want to limit that as much as possible.
Okay. You mentioned recertification. I didn't know you even had to be certified for this.
Oh, absolutely. The DEC is the one who regulates it. Everybody who is a commercial applicator has to take a 30-hour course and get certified and has to have 2 years' experience.
So if I'm having somebody do fertilizing and treating my lawn, I should definitely check to make sure that they're certified.
You absolutely should. There are a lot of rules that we have to follow. Again, it's considered a highly dangerous product. Myself as a professional, any property that I do maintain, I do give them a copy of the label because it's like reading a label on a bottle of poison. I give them a copy there up front. This way they know what they're dealing with. And I also give them a heads up on the days that I'm coming because it wouldn't make sense for me to come down and put treat your property on a day that maybe you're having a party for Sal or any of your other kids.
No, that makes a lot of sense. How many times a year do you end up fertilizing?
We go with the Cornell Extension recommendation. Cornell Extension is a agricultural and environmental program run by the state. And what they do is they look at Long Island as a region, and they decide what is best for Long Island. And they recommend a 5-step program, and that's what I go with.
Okay, and the 5-step means 5 applications?
5 applications, yes.
Each application the same?
No. It starts off with really what is best. I mean, it starts off with a balanced fertilization and then crabgrass control. We want to treat the pests at the easiest state. Get them while they're the weakest.
What kind of pests?
Grubs.
Grubs.
A pest and a weed is anything you don't want it to be. Anything that's in a place where you don't want it to be. So,
any of them called Seth?
Like Seth. Yeah.
Sorry, Seth.
Or the Mets.
That's right. They have chemicals to get rid of me too.
I can't believe I have to have Seth on one side and you on the other side putting down the Mets. Enough.
Yeah, I think Seth.
It's funny who keeps bringing them up, though.
Yeah, I know. I love my Mets.
Actually, Frank, do you have any treatments you can apply to the city field? The Mets seem to have trouble running on that dirt and grass without tearing themselves apart. Well, maybe you can make some recommendations?
Well,
soften the field a little bit?
As an expert, I would say they have the finest field.
Yeah, they do. Well, listen, we're going to take a commercial break so I can shut you two up. We'll be right back on WHLI 1100. Home on Long Island. Welcome back, Long Island, to Home on Long Island. I'm your host, Sal Farrow, President and CEO of Allure Home Improvements. With me is our co-host and med hater, Seth Selesno, and our guest today, Frank Palmieri, who turns out to be another big Yankee fan. And Frank is the president and owner of Surf and Turf Landscaping out in St. James. And we've been talking about just getting your yard ready. And so far we've talked about, number one, you start with a cleanup, thatch the grass to just clean it out, get rid of the dead grass, open it up so it can breathe, fertilize. And then we got into why you fertilize. And we started talking about some grubs and some little pests named Seth and stuff like that. What are some of the common things we see on Long Island as far as problems that we're trying to prevent with preventive applications like fertilizer.
Sure. Hey, Sal, before I even answer that question, I just think it would be fair and probably appropriate that I mention that I do have a partner. His name is Greg Wirkert. He has over 25 years' experience, and I wouldn't want the audience to know that it was just me out there doing all the work.
Well, we'll shout out to him. Hey. But so what are some of the issues and problems out there?
Okay. You know, the funny thing is most of the problems that people, you know, face throughout the year for their lawn and their turf, you know, could have been prevented. And as a turf manager, I look at it as, people aren't really paying me to get rid of the pests. People are paying me to keep the pests away. So what we try to do is try to avoid them. And, you know, two of the things that we want to avoid is crabgrass because it makes our grass look ugly. And it doesn't feel really good on our feet. And grubs, which grubs are basically baby beetles that, you know, grow inside the grass. They feed on the root system of the grass. And, you know, not only do they turn into beetles, they become pests. You see them in our pools and you see them on our screens. But, you know, they also make our lawn look pretty bad. So the first thing we want to do is put down a pre-emergent to prevent that crabgrass from growing.
Okay. So the key is, I mean, the issues we have with grubs and crabgrass, the idea is to do what you can do ahead of time so it doesn't show up.
Yeah.
So it's back to preventive medicine, taking vitamins, eating healthy, exercising so you don't get sick. Because once you get sick, now it's a matter of treating the illness. And you don't want to get to a point where you're treating the illness. You want to prevent it from coming.
That's absolutely correct. You want to, you know, basically attack at the enemy's weakest point.
Okay.
And with grubs, you know, that would be in August when they're just starting to grow, when they're just starting to be born. So that's when we put down a grub killer, which is a pesticide.
Let's switch gears back to it's the beginning of the season, and we're getting ready for our season. Well, we've done our cleanup. We've done our fertilizing. And now I guess it's time to stop planting, I guess. I mean, when do you stop planting the flowers?
Yeah, spring planting is very, very important. And you want to plant when the ground is as close to 55 degrees as possible, but no less than 55 degrees. So you want cool temperatures. So springtime is an excellent time to plant.
Okay.
Okay, you also plant in the fall, too.
Okay, so when it's the heat of the summer, not a good time.
Not a good time to plant, no.
Okay. What's talk about annuals, perennials, what type of flowers, and what are the difference between annuals and perennials? And I know you're going to say one is a year, but why don't you explain it to the audience?
Okay. Well, you know, basically, you know, perennials are something that you plant that are going to be there all the time, you know, 2 years and higher from there. So it's something, it's more like a bush or a shrub that will keep on coming. Annuals are something you want to do. It's more ornamental or designed. So you want to, you know, plant some, you know, some pansies or some Guinea impatiens in the why are you looking at Seth?
Pansies. you know, tulips, would that be considered a perennial?
This is tulips is a perennial, yes. But now is actually a great time to plant your tulips and your daffodils because you'll plant them as flowers. They'll look great. They'll end up dying, but they'll come because it's a bulb. They'll come back next year and you'll have them forever.
I've gotten 3 years. My tulips just keep coming up, my landscaper, when I originally did my house. And the annuals, what's a very popular flower? It's hardy. It's easy to maintain. It can really deal well with Long Island climate. And you mentioned impatiens, and I see a lot of
New Guinea impatiens with, you know, they look nice because they come in pinks and purples, and also pansies. You know, pansies comes in a multiple variety of colors, and when you plant them together, they just look great. That's when you look at a garden, and it's just like all these flowers, and it looks like it should be. Those are pansies.
Well, how about bushes?
How about bushes?
Okay, there's the different type of bushes. You've got privacy bushes. You've got the ornamental stuff. Is it too early to plant that kind of stuff?
No. This is the time we do a lot of this now. You know, what we're getting is, the economy is getting better, folks. That's the good news, okay? The good news is that people are also starting to spend money on their houses again. So what I've been getting a lot of calls is, hey, come to my house, and they point to their bushes, and it's the same old azalea and rhododendron and juniper, which are great, by the way, for growing on Long Island because they grow in actual, you know, acidic soils, what we have. But they're pointing at that, and they're pointing at their neighbors and saying, I want that. I want something more contemporary looking. So now we're going with wanamuses or berberries or hydrangeas. You know, they're more colorful. You spread them out further. They change colors throughout the year. There's something that really looks nice. It's up to date. It's pretty. It's just a win-win for everybody.
I'm sure you get this question a lot. I've got a neighbor. I really don't want to see this neighbor. What's the best thing to plant that's going to come up the quickest and the fullest to prevent me from – to give me privacy that I want?
Yeah, rhododendrons are great for that.
They grow that high, rhododendrons?
No, but they grow wide.
They
grow wide and they're thick. you know what, and they flower in the spring and they look pretty, and then there's just thick green. You can also go with Leland spruces or cypress or anything like that, because those are fast-growing trees. They look great. They're low maintenance.
How about arborvitaes?
Arborvitaes are tighter, more pyramidal. They look more like a pyramid. Look great, low maintenance, but it takes a little bit longer for them to grow, and they don't grow out as far.
And how about white pines? And I've heard some things, because white pines are big and full.
Yep, I would say white pines also very, very good idea. So, you know, if you have, you know, say 100 feet or so, you probably want to go with the with a pine or a spruce. If you don't have as much and you just want to make it look pretty, go with the arborvitae.
Okay. You know what? I've heard in the past that if you do have a 100-foot length, not to put one specific bush, because if for some reason there's some sort of a disease or something happens, it can hit the whole line. So maybe mix it up. White pine, some arborvitaes, Leyland cypresses. How do you feel about that mixture of different type of products?
I think we'll go back to the buzzword that I think you coined, is preventive.
Okay.
You know, so the first thing, we probably want to test the soil there to see what we're dealing with. And we treat that soil. This way we can plant what you want and get the function out of it that you're looking for.
Makes a lot of sense. All right, well, Frank, we've already got phone calls. We've got somebody on the line right now. So what we'll do is take a break from asking you some questions, and we'll take a call. We have Donna on the line from West Babylon. Hi, Donna.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you today?
I'm very good. This is great because I do have some questions, and finally I can really get some good answers here. So
we hope. We have Frank today.
Okay, basically, you know, how long after you apply fertilizer, like, can my family go outside? You know, my son has some allergies. And also, you know, I have a dog and I also have a cat. And how long really should I wait to, you know, it's safe, you know, not only, you know, for the kids, but also for the pets to go, you know, back outside on the lawn?
Hey, Donna, that's a great question. A lot of folks have that same type of question. Listen, you know, as a professional, the most important thing I can do is supply you with a copy of the label of all the materials that I'm putting down. In fact, it's not only important, but it's required by the DEC. So the first thing I would say is read the label, because I don't know what they're putting down or what you might be putting down, but you should read the label. In most cases, it's only 24 hours, but if they're putting down some type of herbicide or something that's even like a wettable powder, it may take longer. I know the most important thing is that you don't come in contact, whether it's any type of wildlife, including yourself, while the solution is wet. So figure 24 hours for the norm, but I would read the label.
Okay, so Frank, 24 hours, typically we can go out there, have a party, kids can play baseball on the lawn. Anything before that, you're not comfortable.
No, and again, I mean, what supersedes what I'm saying right here, because I'm just giving you general answers, read the label.
Read the label.
If you're dealing with a professional company, by law, they're required to give you a copy of that label before they apply the pesticide.
Okay, and put the signs on the lawn.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, that's great. We're going to take a quick commercial break. If you want to call from the question, don't forget the number is 631-292-9108. Or go to WHLI.com, click on Home on Long Island. We'll see you in a little bit.
We now return to Home on Long Island with your host, Sal Ferro, on 1100 WHLI.
Welcome back. We are here with Seth Selesno and our guest today, Frank Palmieri from Surf and Turf Landscaping in St. James. Frank, you've been doing a wonderful job kind of getting us ready, explaining what happens in the beginning of the season. And I feel a lot more confident going into the season on being able to kind of manage my land.
You're ready, Sal.
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready not to do it myself. I don't have the time, but I'm ready to understand what's being done and why it's being done.
Okay.
I'm hearing a lot of stuff out there. I heard the last question about the fertilizer, and that's a great question because I'm always nervous. My nieces and nephews, my daughter, they come out and they're running on the property. I'm always concerned if the fertilizer took place. Well, I hear a lot about these different green things out there. Okay, what is it? Tell me what you've got going on and what that stuff means to you.
That's a great question. You know, more and more of my customers are asking about that nowadays, and I think they're curious just like yourself. You know, a lot of people assume if something's organic and green that it's great, and you know what? The truth of the matter is if it's organic and green, that means there's no chemicals in it. So it's completely safe. In fact, all fertilization and pesticide and herbicide products have, you know, some type of danger message on the label. Keep away from children. In fact, organic is the only one that says don't keep away from children. So we know that it's safe. The thing is, if you want to get rid of a pest, whether it be on the turf or feeding off the turf, you have to use a chemical for it. So the organic, while it's great, it will grow grass, it will keep it green. By nature, it's a little bit more expensive because you have to put it down a little bit more. But if you have crabgrass there, it will keep the crabgrass green as well.
It will. Okay, so it's back to you've got to be in good shape for it to really have the most effect. And if not, you've got to go back to basically putting poison on your ground.
Basically. Now, you know, as a professional, you know, I want to use my brain. I want to use common sense. I mean, there's a fancy acronym for it, but, you know, I'm not going to say that. Let's just call it common sense. There's a way to go about it, because what we want to do is we want to protect the environment. You don't want to put down any type of material on somebody's lawn, which could be dangerous. And, you know, I don't want you to waste your money either.
Okay.
So there's a balanced way to do it, because I like organic, and they do seem to work. You know, mostly they're made up of some type of poultry product or a bone meal or a fish meal. So it's safe stuff. So your children will be walking on manure instead of chemicals.
Now we're hearing much more about green, the green approach.
Right.
And one of the tones of our show has been every, you know, item we talk about, we always want to have some sort of an angle that's pertaining to green. Shortly, I'm going to give the energy tip of the week. And, you know, in landscaping, many people may not realize that there's an approach to landscaping that could be green as well.
Right. So I'm putting together what I would call a hybrid program.
Okay.
Okay. Before, we talked about preventive medicine, right? So I want to put down a balanced fertilizer that may be 40 or 50% organic, but it does have that chemical in there which will prevent the crabgrass. So we'll start the year off the right way and get your lawn on the right path to being healthy. You know, then we'll go with 100% organic application for maybe two or three more times, you know, throughout the year as needed, you know, okay. No less than two. And then we'll end the year the right way again with a balanced program. Yeah. And in between, you know, this all depends on
the condition of the lawn.
And your tolerance for that weed that pops up. A lot of times you can go out there and pluck it by hand instead of having me come by and spray it with something.
Yeah, a couple of weeds and no sense to poison the ground.
That's right.
Well, Frank, I think that you've done a great job today.
Thank you.
A lot of wonderful information for our listeners. How could people get a hold of you if they want to hear more? Do you have a phone number they can call?
Yeah, I mean, I have to say, you asked me at the beginning about my website, and, you know, as times are changing, we're changing, and right now it's under construction. So I think the best way to get a hold of me is just on our phone. It's area code 631-360-1200.
Okay, 631-360-1200. If you'd like to give Frank Palmieri a call and get any type of questions answered from Frank and Surf and Turf. Frank, again, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you, sir.
And now you can sit and listen to our energy tip of the week.
Awesome.
Our energy tip of the week is placing exterior lights and motion sensors. Motion sensors, when you are not around, they will go on when needed, and they will not be on when not needed. Little simple stuff like that can make a huge difference. I know I see many of my neighbors, the lights are on while it's light out, and they're on well into the day. So motion sensor, a great way to save money and do the right thing for the environment. So that's it for today. Seth, anything, what's going on this week? Anything good?
Not much this week. And next week, we got the beer festival. We'll have our basement man cave out at the Nassau Coliseum at the annual beer festival.
What is a beer festival?
It's an opportunity to go taste a bunch of different beers from a bunch of different breweries. And we're going to have our basement display set up so that attendees can grab a beer and sit down in our lovely basement display and
so we'll be at the beer festival with displays, and we'll be showing our basement, which is what we call the man cave.
We'll have our Owens Corning basement finishing system display at the beer festival, and a couple weeks after that, April 9th, 10th, and 11th, we'll be at the Nassau Coliseum Home Show.
Okay. Any updates with Extreme Makeover Home Edition? Are they still looking for a family on Long Island?
Last I heard, they are still actively looking for a family in Long Island. You can send your applications to castlongisland@gmail.com.
Okay. Well, listen, definitely apply, because I know they are looking for a family. They do want to do something on Long Island, and they know that there are a lot of deserving, needy families. So if you know of a family, nominate them and follow up with that. Next week, we're going to have a show kind of tied into what we've just gone through, not specifically getting ready for the spring or summer, but really more about the monsoons we just went through. We're going to have a waterproofer on, John Puma from Long Island Waterproofing, and we're going to talk about ways to prevent some of the damage many homeowners got just recently with all that water. I know a number of my neighbors were getting water in the basement, and it was a real problem. John can talk about some of the things you can do to prevent it from happening, or once it happens, what you can do. So tune in next week at 9 o'clock here on WHLI 1100. Thanks for listening in today. I hope that it was a good show for you. We had a fun time doing it. Have a great week, and enjoy your home on Long Island.
Long Island.